Okay, so we're on page Tess over here, towards the bottom of the right column. So Nochum, so Rav Chaim Vital is talking about again the category within the category of neshamas, that neshamas of Talmidei Chachamim that are mekusher to nigla, and so he's saying within that category there are two subgroups of within those neshamas, two subgroups of why they're seemingly disconnected from Pnimius HaTorah. One subgroup was out of ignorance. They're not educated. They just don't know. They never were exposed. If they would be exposed in Avada, they would run to it because it would be mashlim their nesham also. That's one group. And the second group is there's a little bit more of an ailment of the heart, which stops them from connecting to Pnimius HaTorah, despite even if they were to be exposed to it, there would be a little bit of hesitation. And that's, as you said before, the a hesitation in the heart of this subgroup of wanting to become batal, wanting to be consumed by that fire. There's a mesiras nefesh involved in that, and that's something that takes an avoda. So he says like this, 2, 4, 6, 8, about seven or eight lines from the bottom. Ubli safik shechayshun kach avilam hema. Certainly, those people that think this way are foolish. They're foolish. Their hesitation of being consumed by the fire of Pnimius HaTorah. Again, like we said yesterday, like the Meraglim not wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Echel is Yeshveh. It's a foolishness. Kilule shehim chayshim v'daitim kidaylem oisa chachma pshuta sheyaduba ukfar chachamim hema. Because the truth is, if it wasn't for the fact that they think that they already are complete and in the knowledge of Torah that they already have and they're already chachamim, they wouldn't have this hesitation. So in other words, not wanting to be consumed also is coupled with the fact that they think that they're good. Like, so they don't need it. If you need it, then you would find a way in. You would find a willingness to enter into it. So it's sort of that's what Pnimius HaTorah demands. To a certain degree, it demands a willingness to be consumed by that fire. And number two, there is no other option. There is no other option. Like, there's a certain, like, there is no other choice. I need this light in my life. And because I desperately need it, even if the person finds within themselves some hesitation of experiencing that light, Lamaisa, they have no choice, so they'll figure out a way. It's like, yeah, that's how it is in life. You know, very often problems are solved. What's the difference between a problem that's never solved versus a problem that is solved? Very often the difference is not like smart people versus not smart people. It's desperation. You know, I mean, if you feel that you don't have to solve the problem, then you probably won't. But if you feel that you have no choice but to solve the problem, then you will. So if a person feels that they have no choice but to experience the light of Torah, then even if it's scary and there's hesitation, you'll figure out a way. You'll figure out a way to work it out. Say it again?
How do you get that gift of desperation?
Yeah, how does a person get that desperation?
Hashem usually gives it to us.
One way or another, right?
Having the right tivus.
Oh, yes.
Tivus and chandas is in the right way.
Desperation to have previous attire. I mean, it's not just like desperation in life is easy. Sure,
you know, listen, it's like, Yoav Chachma L'Chakimin, wisdom is given to those that are already wise, right? So how do you become wise? So it is true that to a certain degree, there is no, really, okay, listen, it goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said that when young Chassidim, before his Hasdalkus, they asked him, they said, Rebbe, what's going to be with us after your, so he said, how are we going to find another tzaddik? So the Baal Shem Tov said, this is the siman. If you go to someone and you ask him, what's the eitzah to get rid of one's yeshus, and he starts giving you eitzahs, don't go to him. But if a person says, I don't have any eitzahs, you have to daven, you have to ask Hashem for help, that's someone to go to. The answer really is davening. The answer is davening to Hashem, that the Rebbeinu should open our eyes to realize that we have nothing without His light. We have nothing without His light. And all chachma and all Torah and everything that a person has, if it's not pulsating with Hashem's presence, then it's ultimately not satisfying to the neshama. But to find that nekuda, Listen, there's a number of eights. You connect yourself to someone that has that quality already. Taste it yourself, and then the mela, the taiva. You know, sometimes a person is so hungry, right, or doesn't have food for so long, you don't even realize that you're hungry, right? So if you have to taste something or drink something, then you realize, oh, Taka, I've been fasting all day, you know? So there's such a thing of like tasting a little bit first. And, that's what davening is. Davening is that you ask the Rabbanu Shalom to give you a taste, that we should have a taste of the light of Torah. And then once you're given that taste, then you realize that that you can't live without it. And then it's scary, it's hard, I have to rethink my entire way of, okay, you'll figure out eitzes if you have no choice. But if it has to come from that desperation comes. Really, it's natural for the neshama of a Jew to feel that desperation. So it's a matter of just uncovering that truth. That's davening uncovers that, tasting it a little bit from the right people, the right experience, that also unlocks that, you know, that desire. But it's but that's what a person has to have. Yeah, but like yeah.
You're not feeling yeshus. Life is good. I'm saying you're not feeling yeshus, but you know when you're making that, really, there's a lot more.
Right.
So how do you daven? Because you're not feeling. You're not.
Well, yeah. If the daven that there's madrigas of wanting. There's madrigas of, you know, not every day, not every moment is a person going to be like, you know, completely on fire with the desire, you know, to get closer to Hashem. But it's always there, you know, there's a Hava Misoteres. It's sometimes it's dormant, sometimes a little bit more than dormant. And so you have to know where you are that day and connect to that level of cheshek that is possible that day. But you have to believe that level of desire that a person has for that day, that's called authentic, that's called real. No.
It needs to come from that place, but you're not feeling that. Then how do you?
A person also has to be, you have to have patience with Hashem also. You have to have patience with yourself. Not every day, like that's what I'm saying, not every day is going to be with that fire, you know, but we're not here just for a day. You know, we're here for 120 years. And so, you know, it's the long game. You know what I mean? And ultimately, if any given day there's a little bit of a spark, a little bit of fire, and you know in your mind, at least in your mind, you know, that's what the Baal Tanya writes. He says that if a person does what they're supposed to do, that under the right circumstances they would be on fire with it, and just happens to be because of external things or internal things, they're not able to experience that. That's fine, and that's ki'ilu, you are on fire, and the Rabbanu Shalom won't hold it against you, and he'll still give you everything that he would if you would be on fire because you did your part. So there's, you know, there's internal mechanisms that a person has to go through in order to trigger this desire, this deep desire. But then there's minias that come from the outside and minias that come from the outside inside, you know. There's minias. And the Rabbanu Shalom understands that, and that's okay. That's okay. You have to recognize that, and, you know, you do the best you can every single day. And, you know, but the person has to know that even behind the concealment and behind that, like, coarseness that they're not, you know, behind that is a fire. Behind that is a fire.
That idea alone has also become a big driver. I mean, when you know that the etzem all year wants to
go. Yeah. Then you know it's there. That's the kavanas of the 3 weeks, by the way. So the Arizal says that in the kavanas of the 3 weeks, what's the kavana? So Arizal says the first three brachas of Shmoneser, bracha to Hashem Mogin Avram, bracha to Hashem Chaim Esam, bracha to Hashem Akel HaKadosh. So the Rizal says like this, that the name Yudke Vavke, in those three Hashems, you have to hide it. You have to hide it. So in Bachat Hashem Magin Avraham, you imagine the name Yudke Vavke with each letter with its preceding letter. So Yud is a Tes, He is a Dalet, Vav is a He, and He is a Dalet. So you imagine Yudke Vavke with its preceding letters. The second Yud Kevavke of Mechayim Mesim, you imagine Yud Kevavke with the next letter, right? So Yud is a Chaf, and so on. And the Yud Kevavke of Ata Kaddish, of Akel Kaddish, you think in Atbash. Mem Tzadi, Nun Tzadi. So That's what those three things. It says the reason of those three names all together equal gematria shin. Shin Yudnun, Shin, the letter Shin. The Rizal also says that when it comes to Ritzei, there's a similar kavana. Ritzei, you have to think the name Elokim spelled out in full. So Aleph, Lamed Pei, Lamed Mem Dalet, Elokim, plus the name Adnai, that also is Begmachia Shin. So those two Shins. And that's also, then you take those two Shins and Sim Shalom. Rosh, two Shins, Sim Shalom. So, you know, it's interesting. So, I mean, first of all, Shin is Begmachia Shas. In the Kavanas of Karpas, the Rizal says that Shin is Begmachia Shas. It means that the whole eating of this time of the year is to realize that Yud Kei Vav Kei is behind, is hiding in plain sight. It's hiding in plain sight. So it's with the preceding letters, it's with the following letters, it's with Atbash, but it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that Yud Kei Vav Kei, which represents secrets of Torah, which is the fire, the light of Hashem, is hiding in plain sight where? In Shas. It's hiding in Shas. And the name Elokim and Adnai, which are names of Midas Hadin, are also Begmachia Shas, also Begmachia Shin, which is the same Shin, which is the same numerical value as the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei with its three manipulations. And when you get to the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, Sim Shon, which is the time of Yichud, the time of real Dveikus to Hashem, then all of a sudden, the secret of the 3 weeks is that Dveikus with Hashem is with the garments, right? And with the Hester Panim, with the coverings of the Shin. You would imagine that in the first three brachas, so Yud Kei Vav Kei is hiding behind these like cloaks, these disguises of, you know, the preceding letters, the after letters, the atbash. It's like Yud Kei Vav Kei is hiding, right? Elokim Adnai is hiding, you know? But you would think by the end of the day, by Sim Shalom, okay, you'll be able to take away all the disguises and it would just be Yud Kei Vav Kei straight, Adnai Elokim straight. Well, you have to hide. But the secret of the real secret of the 3 weeks is that even by Sim Shalom, it's still two shins. We embrace the kisui, the concealment is also part of Hashem's presence.
The Hester is also Elokim.
Exactly. So this is ultimately how a Yid is able to handle the Hester Panim of the 3 weeks and the Hester Panim of a person's life that, you know, Moshe, we were talking about it, like, you don't feel that fire. Whatever is holding back that feeling of fire is also from Hashem. That's also a point of contact between you and Hashem. In other words, there's one way of thinking, which is experiencing Hashem is when it's fire. But then there's blockages, right? So then, okay, but I have to believe that Hashem is behind the scenes of that. That's so fine. That's all very, very nice, and that's a good kavanah to have until you get to Sim Shalom. Because once you get to Sim Shalom, you realize that not only is Hashem hiding behind the concealment, but the concealment itself is part of the Yichud. The two shins themselves, not just the Yud Kei Vav Kei and the letters Adnai. That's why, I think the Rizal says also, the shin of Sim Shalom is that those are the two shins of the previous Kavanas. And then the other letters of Sim Shalom, I think also are Bigmachia Shin, except for, but it's missing a Vav. The Vav of Shalom, Sim Shalom, the two shins, those are the two shins, and then Yud Mem of Sim, and Lamed Mem of Shalom. How does it go? That's, oh, he says, oh, you brought it, you've got it, give me one, okay. How does it go?
Very
nice. Yeah.
So
this, yeah, how does it go? I can't remember exactly, but the Vav of Sim, I can't remember exactly what the Kavanas are. Yeah. The whole, okay, that's how it is. The whole, yeah. So the two shins of Sim Shalom, that's the two shins of the previous Kavanas. The entire gematria of Sim Shalom equals begematria Shin Yudun. Right? So the gematria equals Shas, twice.
Shin B'miloy.
And except for the Vav is still missing, but the Vav is a remiss to all the names of Hashem that you're hinting to. Yudke Vavke, the three manipulations of Yudke Vavke, Elokim Adnai. In other words, what's the Kavan of Sim Shalom? The Kavan of Sim Shalom is that not only is the Yichud happening in that with that clarity of Havaya, Adnai, Elokim, and so on, but it's with the Kisuyim, with the concealments, with the Hester. It's also that's also part of the Yichud. That's the way it should. I mean, that's a big madrega what you're describing, but that's the ultimate tachlis. That's what's brought down the svarim, that the avoid of the 3 weeks creates the kalim for tishra for the yom tovim of yom neroim and sukkos and so on. It creates the kalim for that because the ikr avoid of the 3 weeks is. The chitzaynius that avoided 3 weeks is sadness over golus, and that's a deep avoida. But the pnimis that avoida is to do that, but then also to realize that that itself is dveikus. The kisuyim, the helam, the hester, that's also a gilui of elikos. That's
the bigger gilui because it's like making the kelim into the art.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a higher level of elikus that's manifest in concealment than it is in gila. But again, this is
it's the other side of Purim.
There you go. So it works out. The issue. I don't know if it's a problem or good or bad. But when all of Yiddishkeit boils down to one nakuda veinu mavadai, then for the same matter, you can say this in Hanukkah. Whatever it is, it's the nakuda. It's the nakuda.
Yeah. The only way to reveal Hashem is in the darkness and concealing himself.
So this is the side. This is the that's what the Kavan is. That's the Mor V'Shemesh writes. He says that during the 3 weeks, it's a person should be Isaac and Nigla, not so much in Esther. That's he says the Mor V'Shemesh writes. But again, but what type of Nigla? So you see in the Kavanis again. The Kavan is Shas Shin Yunun, which is Shas. But what a Shas that is a manipulation of Yudke Vavke, a nigla which is emanating from Nistar. So that's the type of nigla that a person has to learn. Okay, that's a shem. I guess we'll continue tomorrow.